That would be true too. That works. Okay. We are starting JavaScript today. Well, it was interesting for anticipation. I hope you participate as much as we go on. Okay, so JavaScript is not Java. Okay, Java is a very sophisticated programming language, akin to C++, but it's very object-oriented. JavaScript started out quite simplistic. It's become far more complex. But it is a language that can be embedded in HTML to give HTML more power. So it is used for web development. It's used for websites. Okay, so that's JavaScript, and it is very different than the language Java. So we're going to look at some JavaScript examples. So I'm going to go over to Programs, and I'm going to click on hello.html, which is the first one. My strong advice is not to use Explorer. Okay, I have things like this pop-up, and Explorer is not fond of pop-up. Explorer is right, you shouldn't use a lot of pop-ups. But for our purposes, to get a quick view of the language, it's kind of a nice tool. But Explorer will yell at you if you use pop-ups, so basically use some other browser. So here is what happens when I open hello.html. And notice that it is .html. The name of it is hello.html. That's because it is code that is embedded inside the HTML, and we'll see that in a second. Notice I've said hello world twice. Once I've written it on the document, once I'm writing it in a pop-up. Okay? So now I'm going to click on OK. The pop-up goes away. The document gets its usual color, and we're all set. To see the code, you just do view source, just like you do in HTML. So we're building on the HTML. Now, a JavaScript can,
so I'm coding in HTML, or JavaScript. Oh, wait, finish.
So I was about to say, you sound like your mouth's full.
Okay, so the HTML, I didn't bother with putting in the head and the body stuff and everything. I will eventually, and people would do that if they were coding. What I did was just put in the HTML tags above and below and insert my JavaScript inside to keep it just JavaScript for a while, yeah.
So when you're opening, so when I'm coding in H, so when I'm using JavaScript, I'm using Notepad++ to do it?
Yes, or Notepad, either one.
Either one, they're the same.
So, I'm saying here, I'm putting a script inside HTML. Okay, now think back to when you did HTML. We had a style tag, and the style tag we had to use when we were doing CSS, because we had to tell the browser that now we're not doing HTML, we're doing CSS. The browser had to be notified. The same thing applies here. Script tells the browser that we're now going to be inserting and using JavaScript. Okay, and the browser is prepared for that, but it has to know when it's happening, because default is it assumes everything is HTML. And if it's not HTML, I gotta tell it. Okay? So I have script type equals text JavaScript, which was very similar to what we did with style type equals text CSS, and told it that it was CSS, now we're telling it it's JavaScript. When I'm done with the JavaScript, I close the script. Okay. So, I did two things here. One of them is I did a document write. And a document write is, okay, good.
the opposite of document live.
Yeah. At one point, we actually had that pen was actually working. And then it died, and then it came back. And now it apparently has decided to die again.
I'm going to go over and ask it nicely.
Okay, oh no, not the pen. Didn't something just happen?
Nope.
Oh, well. Okay. I'll copy and paste from the last class when I want the particular words in there. But document right is basically a statement that will put things on the page. And when you see document right referred to, it does document.write with a set of parentheses. And the set of parentheses say, this is what you want to write. Well, what I want to write is hello world. And hello world is a non-numeric literal, so I enclosed it in quotes. So hello world is enclosed in quotes, okay? Then I wanted to do the pop-up, and the alert also has a set of parentheses after it, and I am putting the variable, the non-numeric inside alert. And so it did a pop-up to get me alert. So document write puts it out here on the form, and the alert puts it as a pop-up. Okay? So that's a very simple little program that did that for us. Okay. The next one I'm going to look at is a multiply. Okay, so again, we have a pop-up, but this time the pop-up is asking us for information. So I'm going to tell it 7 is my first number. And then I'm going to click on OK, and I'm going to tell it 2 is my next number. And it gives me an answer of 15, of 14, yeah, right.
Judge.
Yeah, whatever. So now I've got, first of all, I've declared my variables. So I have a variable answer equals 0. Variable first num equals 0. Variable second num equals 0. So I've declared my variables. And we've done that in a couple of the logic things that you have. So I'm declaring a variable with the word VAR, and then I am putting an initial value in. In this case, I'm putting zeros on them all. Notice on this one, and I should have mentioned it on the other one, that statements are ended with a semicolon. So variable answer equals 0 has a semicolon. Variable first num equals 0 has a semicolon, because the statement is done. And so it ends it with a semicolon. Then I started out and I said, put up a prompt. And that prompt is what you saw, is the pop-up that you saw. On the prompt, write the word, enter the first number. And this 0 here goes into the area that you can enter something into. It initializes it at 0. So if you run this again, you'll see a 0 come up in the box where you can type the number. And then I said, enter the second number, and again I have a 0. And then I said, okay, now take the first number, multiply by the second number, and put it in answer. Okay, so take the first num, multiply it by the second num, and assign it to answer. Okay, so the equal sign, remember, is an assignment sign. So it's taking first num times second num and assigning it to answer. And then it did a document write of the content of answer. Yeah.
So is the difference between an alert and a prompt, the fact that you can enter?
Yes. Okay. Alert is output, prompt is taking input. So document write answer. What about if I put answer in quotes there? What would show up on the screen?
Just answer,
ANS. Just ANS. If I put it in quotes, ANS in quotes, I would see A and S on the screen because it would have been saying put out the contents of the quote. Just like up here in the prompt, I see the words. So by leaving it without quotes, it means I want the content of the variable. Okay, I want the content of the variable. Okay, if you look at this, the flowchart for this is simply sequential. So I would have done a start. Oh, I like it when it does blue-green combination. Yes, indeed. Okay. Then I declare my variables. And then I put out a prompt. And the prompt is an I/O statement. So I put out a prompt to get first num. And again, that equal sign means I'm assigning it to first num. Then I put out a prompt to get second num. Then I do a calculation, so I do a multiply, and I could write out the whole multiply here, but I don't have room. And then I'm done. So there is the program. I declare my variables, I put out two prompts, I did a multiply, whoops, I should have said I did a document right. I missed one. I write it out, so I write out answer, and then I'm done. And I can put stop in there if I want to. Okay, so I write out answer, and then I'm done. So this is just sequential processing. I don't have any if statements, I don't have any loops, I'm just one at a time doing those things, and then I'm done. Okay? Okay, so now we're gonna go back to the program, and it just dawned on me that I might know of a magic thing that I can do. If I click on SmartBoard Tools one more time, we're going to see if it likes that. Okay, so the next one says multiply answer. So I'm putting in 6, I'm putting in 7, and my answer is 42. Okay? So, this is... Nope, magic didn't work. That is a separator. The comma is a separator. It's separating two things that I want to write. I want to write the answer is, and I want to write out the contents of A and S. And the comma separates the two things. Notice the space after the S. That's so that it will write the space after the S up there before the 42. So otherwise, if I didn't put the space after the S, I would see the 4 right next to the S. But putting that space in there gives me a little room. Okay?
Question.
Yeah.
If you, so at the top it says enter the first number, enter the second number, comma, 0. So if you didn't have the 0, what would happen? Would it?
It probably leaves it blank.
Oh, so that just means that when the prompt comes up, it just has a 0.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Okay. It'll probably leave it blank. And the reason I say probably, it depends a little bit on version of browser. Whether it puts a question mark or whatever it does. When you go to the web, it is extremely browser-oriented. So when I say it could be this or it could be that, what I'm usually talking about is depends on what browser you're using, how it reacts to these things. Okay, and that's a difference between programming languages. If you write in C#, you pretty much know what's going to happen. If you write in C++, you pretty much know what's going to happen. When you write for the web, you've got another factor in there, and that is what browser you're using, because the browser is going to interpret what you're writing. Okay, so you've got that little variable in there. Okay, so what I do is if I take this code, because I don't want to write a new piece of code, and I want to show you how you write this, and so it's easier to, for me to paste. Okay, so let's pretend I just wrote that. Okay? So, now I'm going, huh?
You type fast.
Yes, I do. And very accurately as well.
You don't type those, not bad.
So we're going to do a file save as, and I'm going to call this firstb15.html. Again, I've got an HTML extension on it, and I'm saving it as firstb.html, or actually firstb14, whatever. So I'm saving that. Okay, so it's now firstb14. I meant to type 15. And it has been saved. So it's now out on my floppy, flash drive, and I can now open it. So I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to say File, Open File. And I'm going to go to my drive where I put it, and I'm going to find firstb14, and I'm going to open it. Okay, and I've got the results. So in other words, it's just like HTML. You write it in the notepad, you save it, you open it in a browser, and you look at the results. And if they're not right, you go back to notepad and you fix it up. So again, it's operating the same way that HTML operates, except now I've put more power in with JavaScript. And we haven't seen the power yet, but JavaScript can do a calculation. That's adding some power. Okay, HTML can't do calculations. It can also make decisions, and it can also have loops, and we will be looking at those. Okay, so what I want you to do now is basically write something.
Done.
No copying and pasting. So,
something.
I want you to write, go in and do this, and yes, you can copy and paste some. But change it, make it a divide maybe, make it a subtract maybe, don't make it a plus. We'll talk about pluses in a minute. But go ahead and try writing one, saving it, bringing it up, and running it. Questions? Carolyn and I are here. Then you won't be prompted for anything.
But we'll still have it just won't have the zero, right?
Well, no. If you delete those two rows, it won't do anything.
Oh.
Because it won't prompt you for anything.
You're declaring two variables.
It will come down here and do the calculation of zero times zero.
Oh, those two, yeah, then you're just... it won't ask you for anything, and it'll assume that since variables are set to zero by default, it'll run this line, assuming that you have that you meant to enter 0, 0.
Oh.
And so it will write document answer. The answer is zero.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Efficient, but not quite what you're aiming for.
Right.
Is there space after prompt?
No. Usually there is not a space when there's a parenthesis coming up. So if there's a parenthesis coming up, don't use a space.
Okay.
JavaScript something.
Oh man, you took my idea. I was gonna do third now. Now I gotta do fourth now.
So just enter.
You stole my idea?
I did, I'm sorry. I read your mind.
Yeah.
Professor,
yeah.
Where it says like
enter. Ooh, I like it.
Well, when you run it, it will ask for a number. So when you run it, so you just go ahead and run it. It will, when it hits this line, it says, oh, you want me to prompt you for a number. So we'll put out the box asking you to enter a number. A prompt asks for a number.
I took two classes in your Java program and I barely passed.
But the thing is that the browsers can also be, JavaScript can also be a pain in the neck. He just had a problem. Is yours running now? Oh well. Somebody just had a problem because they wrote second space no. So there was a space there, embedded space. Won't work because it says second must be the name of it. What is this num there for? Okay, so let's about little things. There's some things it's not fussy about, but it's very fussy about little things. If you're doing this professionally, you're going to buy yourself an expensive editor, or your company's going to buy you an expensive editor that will catch a lot of your errors. Okay? But you're in class, and I prefer torturing you, so I actually want you to learn to try to figure out what's going wrong. It's known as debugging. Okay, did everybody get it running?
Yeah.
Yeah, not yet.
Yeah, I know what my problem was. I put the parentheses. I put the comma before the parentheses.
Okay. So yours is working now?
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's the little things that are going to kill you in this. And you're going to pull your hair out. You know, it's the little... Some have more to do that with than others. Okay. So, essentially,
it
gets very, very picky. And if you change capital and use capital letters in commands, it doesn't like that. Basically, right in the lowercase most of the time. Okay? But it's very, very fussy. Okay, we're going to look at the next example, which is adnum. Okay, so I am putting in 4 and 7. And I am coming up with an answer, two answers actually, one that says 47. Okay, and one that says 11, which is the correct answer. Okay, now I'm going to be a fool and try this again. No, I knew it wasn't. Okay, so what I have here, actually I'll take a picture of the screen and go over here and do an insert a picture of the screen. There. Okay, now I get to write. So what it did is answer equals gave me the 47. Other answer gave me the 11. Now let's see how that worked. A plus sign has two meanings in JavaScript and some other languages. One, it means add. And one, it means concatenate.
What?
Concatenate, which is put two things together as one. Push them together as one. Concatenating is pushing two things together as one. So, question?
No.
Okay. So, I have first and second num, and I said answer equals first plus second num. It gave me 47, so which did it do, add or concatenate?
Okay.
Concatenate. It, the browser defaulted to the browser defaulted to concatenating. Now, I need, my job is to convince the browser that it wants to add. To convince the browser that it wants to add, I've got to clarify for the browser that these are both numbers. First num and second num are both numbers. One way to do that is parse float. Parse float means convert it to a decimal number. A floating number is a decimal number. So it converts it to a decimal number. There's also a parse int, which is parse integer if you want a whole number. So I have now converted this because I said parse float first num, and first num is in parentheses because parse float is acting on first num. And parse float is converting second num or acting on second num. So once it has converted them, now it does the add. Notice that parse float has a capital F. JavaScript does this a lot, that when it's got two words, it capitalizes the beginning of the second word. So it's parse float first num, parse float second num. Okay? So what I did in this program is I took in my prompts, I calculated the answer that concatenated and I wrote it out. Then I said, okay, now I'm going to concatenate the one that does an add. So now I'm going to add the one that uses numbers. And before I write that out, I want to write a blank line. So I have this. The BR inside quotes means it passes down BR to the browser. It takes what's inside the quotes and passes it to the browser. And the browser says, oh, that's a BR. That means write a blank line. Skip down to the next line, basically. So it skips down to the next line, and then it writes the answer is other answer. And I see other answer in the next line. If I hadn't done that BR, it would have written the answer is 47, and then on the same line, it would have written the answer is 11. I have to direct it to move down to the next line. Okay. Questions? Okay. There are a couple of ways that we can do that. And here are two other ways, three other ways. End of the first number, 5, 6, and I get 56 and 11. If you don't like parse float, you can also put a plus sign and then put first num in parentheses, add it, plus sign, second num in parentheses. You can also use the word number with a capital N, and that converts it to a number. You can also use parse int, which converts it to a whole number. So those are just alternative ways of doing it. I usually use parse float mainly out of habit. That was the one that was around when I learned JavaScript. But there are a lot of alternatives that you can use. Okay. Questions? Okay, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing is all easy. And my battery just went, so there'll be a slight pause. Because I have a funny habit of when one battery goes, the other one goes shortly. Alrighty. Okay, moving on to the next one, hopefully, as soon as this starts up. So, moving on to the next one. Okay, this one is going to include a decision. So I'm entering the first number, and it's a 5. I'm entering the second number, and it's a 6. Then I says, enter a asterisk or a slash. So I'm entering an asterisk. And then I click OK, and it says the answer is 30. And 5 times 6 is indeed 30. Okay, so now what I'm doing is I have a decision here. Okay, so this decision is basically how I can do this and ask a question. And I'm going to move this over here so that I can write. Okay. So, first of all, notice this prompt. On the numbers, I put a 0 there because I wanted the default to be a 0 when the box came up for me to enter something in. On this one, the default is a quote, which means leave it empty. It means nothing. It means leave it empty. So the box will come up empty. Okay? Usually people put a 0 when it's a number and the quote when it's a non-number. Okay, so I took in 3 things. Notice what to do did not get an initial value. I could have assigned an initial value to it. I decided not to. So, now I come down to the if. And my if statement is asking the question, is what to do equal to an asterisk? Now, actually, one equal sign is an assignment sign. Two equal signs is compare. Okay? So, if you have one equal sign, it means a sign. So up here where I said assign zero to second note, assign what I get in with the prompt to first note. Down here, I'm going to do a comparison. Does what to do contain an asterisk? So I'm doing a comparison. Does what to do contain an asterisk? So I ask if what to do equals an asterisk, and I have to have the two equal signs. If I don't, it takes it as an assignment sign and puts an asterisk in what to do, because it's assigning. The if statement is inside parentheses. Okay, so my if statement is inside parentheses. Now, if it is true, I will do the information that is in between those curly braces. So those curly braces delineate what I want to do if it's true. If it is false, I do what's inside these curly braces. I take the else and I do what's inside those curly braces. Notice there's no end if. When I'm done with the curly brace at the bottom, that is considered the same as an end if. But what I do is, if I have 20 things I want to do, if it's an asterisk, I put all 20 things inside the curly braces. If I have 10 things I want to do, if it's an else, I put the 10 inside there. And when it finishes those 10 and hits the bottom curly brace, it's out. If I don't have any else, then I just have an if with two curly braces, and when they're done, it's done. Okay? If I don't have an else. So if what to do equals an asterisk, I will go and do one calculation. Else, I do another calculation. Okay? So what happens here if I enter a plus sign? If what to do equals, when I'm prompted for enter an asterisk or a slash, what happens if I put a plus sign in there?
We have to clarify that it has to be addition.
Yeah, but what happens the way I've got it written?
Returns an error.
Pardon?
Returns an error.
Nope. Look at the logic. What happens if it asks the question, right? If what to do equals an asterisk. If it doesn't equal an asterisk, then what does it do?
The else.
The else. So that's what it will do. It will do the else. It will do a divide. If I put in the letter A, it will do a divide. If I put in an ampersand, it will do a divide. It will do a divide if I put in anything other than an asterisk. That's not what I thought I was going to get. All right. It will do a divide if I do anything other than. So let's go and try that. Okay. So this is the one. I'm going to refresh. And I'm going to put in a 5. And I'm going to put in a 2. And I'm going to put in a plus. Okay. So I put in a 5 and a 2 and a plus. And then I click on OK, and what do I get? I get 2.5, which means it did the divide, because 5 divided by 2 is 2.5. So it did the divide. Okay, so right now what I've got, if I look at my logic, that's not going to let me. If I look at my logic, right now, this is what I have, and we will go over. Okay, so there it is. So my logic is that I come in and I set the variables.
Oh man, that thing's special.
It's very cool.
I fixed it, I'm sorry. It's gonna stay blue now. Okay, then I am taking in first num. Then I am taking in second num. Then I am taking in what to do. And then I hit the question. And I ask if what to do equals an asterisk. Now notice I didn't make the two equal signs and I didn't put the asterisks in quotes because I'm writing in English now. When I move it over to the program, I gotta do it. If you want to do it in the flowchart, it's not a problem, but it's optional because this is for you, not for the computer. So if the answer is yes, I do a multiply to get answer. If the answer is no, I do a divide to get answer. Okay? And then I come back and I write out answer. And then I'm done. Okay, and sometimes people put a circle at the bottom either way. And then I am done. Okay, so that's my logic. Now what I want is I want to have the if statement a little bit different. So what I can do is I can say, okay, is it an asterisk? If it is, then I want to do the multiply. If not, I'm going to ask another question. Is it a divide? If it is, I will do the divide. If not, I can put out answer equals zero, or I can write answer equals error, whatever I want to do.
Or you could bridge it again.
Yep, but we won't get there yet. Stay tuned. So, I can start out this way and make the change to my logic so that when I hit the else over here, I ask another question. Okay, so when I hit the else, I ask another question. So, if I come over here and I do a view page source, and I take and save this. An edit select all would probably be the easy way to do it. Okay, so here's my code. Now I've got to go in and change this code. So on the else, I'm going to ask a question. And I'm going to say, if what to do is equal, notice the double quotes, to a slash. Okay, if it's equal to a slash. And now I'm going to put in the curly brace. And then I want to say, then do the divide. Okay. So if what to do equals a slash, I'm going to do the divide. Else, I'm going to say, answer equals zero. And then I'm going to put in another curly brace. Am I done? Do I have all the curly braces that I need?
No.
No. Because there is no ending curly braces for the one right after the else. Okay, that didn't have an end. Around the if, I've got two curly braces. Two curly braces, if it's true, on the slash one. Two curly braces. This one is missing a curly brace. So I have to put in the curly brace there. Okay. To finish it off. And I'm serious when I say I count when I'm all done. I count the number of left braces I have, 3. I count the number of right braces I have, actually 4. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. I count the number of right braces, 4. And if they're not the same, I know I missed one or I've got an extra one or something, because everything that's open has to be closed. Okay, so if I have a left curly brace and I don't have a right curly brace, I got a problem. So hopefully this will work now. So we're going to file, save as whattodo.html. Okay, and so I'm going to come in here and do a file, open file, and I am going to go looking for whattodo.html. So I'll enter the first number, and it will be an 8 and a 4, and I will enter the divide, and it did a divide, so I have the 2. And then I'll run it again because I want to get 0. So I'll put in a 5 and a 6 and a plus sign, and I get the answer is 0. Okay. So essentially, I've got this working now. Okay.
If it's not a multiply, it checks to see if it's a divide. I also could have written the answer equals error, but the error would have to be in quotes, because it's a non-numeric literal.
Okay, so now let's say that I want to have a plus or a minus. I want to be able to do any of them. Okay, so I want you to go into this program, make the change that I just made, and then also add in the ability to have the user put in a plus on the ability to have the user put in a minus.
So go ahead and try that. I would suggest you do a flowchart of it first. Okay? I've got starting out the asterisk, then I've got the slash, and if this is true, I'm doing the multiply, and if the divide is true, I'm doing the divide. So what do I want to do over here now?
I want to add a plus or a minus.
I want to ask the question, is it a plus? So I'm going to come in here and ask the question, is it a plus? If it is, I'll do an add. If it's not a plus, what do I want to do?
If it's not a plus, then you need to do a minus.
Well, I don't want to do it without asking, because what if they put in an ampersand or a Z or something? I still want to have the, if you don't pick any of the 4, it's an error. So I'm going to ask if it's a minus, and if it's not a minus, then it's an error. So, try doing the code for this, please.
And this still has decided not to work. you have questions, let Carolyn or I know. She's going to write some JavaScript. Anybody else doing a flowchart first? It's the right thing to do. Yeah.
So we're basically, with the code we're working on now, we're expanding it?
Yeah.
By adding a plus to it?
A plus and a minus.
All right.
Okay. So, among other things, I should say up here, enter, and put those options up there too, because I want to be able to do it all now. One possibility is to just do the plus. When that's working, then go in and add the minus. I do that a lot with JavaScript because it's so fussy. So I will write a small part of the code, test it, then add some more, test it, add some more, test it, add some more, test it. If you're done and bored, you can always go in and start the homework. Questions?
I have no idea where to start.
Well, what did I do when I changed it? I used to have answer equals zero here. I went in and I substituted another if statement. So basically what you're going to do is come over here and ask the question where I used to have answer equals zero. You're going to ask the plus question. You're going to ask the question, is it a plus? So that's the first step before you're going to start. Because if it's not a slash, you want to find out, is it a plus? And if it's not a plus, you want to find out, is it a minus? So you're going to eventually go on, and if it's a no to that, you're going to ask, is it a minus? And if it's a no to that, finally you're going to have the answer equals zero. Yeah.
After the what to do, are you supposed to have a semicolon at the end, or no?
No. In fact, that's good that you asked that. The if statement isn't done, so you don't put a semicolon after the if statement. Okay? You only put a semicolon when the entire statement is done. And the if statement isn't done because it's got loads of other parts. So there's the flowchart, and once you have the flowchart, you're just adding in the things, and you start making the changes where in this program I had answer equals zero. It matters to people.
Okay.
I lose track of the curly braces unless I learn them up.
Okay?
The computer is able to handle it if you push it all against the left wall. But it's tedious. I'm going to talk about the homework, so listen to the end of the tape. Yeah. About what I have to say, or you can figure it out yourself. It's not a problem. The end of the tape will have the stuff on it.
Wait, seriously the gym. I haven't been able to watch the show.
No, that doesn't. That's the question you asked, right? How is this? Okay. I'm going to kind of start this up. And if you're still working, ignore me. If you did this part right, that's fine. But I come here, and here where the answer equals zero, that's where I want to stick in a new if statement. Okay? Because now I want to ask, is it a plus? So I'm going to stick in a new if statement here. And what is the if statement going to say, do you think? Yeah. So there's where I ask that next question. If what to do equals plus. And if you go look at my flowchart, it does. It has a no. If the divide gets a no, it asks that question. So, if it is a plus, what do I want to do? Right, I got to put the thingamabobby in there, the curly brace in first. And then I'm saying answer equals parse float first num plus parse float second num. And I put a semicolon after that because that's done. And then I come over here and I put a curly brace. And then I go to the else. Okay, so there's the next step. Now what am I going to do inside the else? I'm going to ask about whether it is a subtract. Is only needed for an addition. The plus sign and the equal sign are the things they mess up on you. Plus can mean add or concatenate, equal sign. A single one means assignment, and double one means compare. Compare for equal.
So always after the else, curly brace. Also under the F curly brace.
Yep. Yep.
Okay,
it.
Okay, so now what am I going to do to finish this off? Because we are running out of time.
Calm your braces, make sure everything flows.
Well, I still haven't got the negative yet. The minus, right?
Oh, no, on the minus.
No. So we have what to do is a plus, do that. Else, I'm going to ask if...
It was a minus.
Right. If what to do is equal to a minus. And if it is equal to a minus, then I am going to have answer equals first num minus second num. And then I close that curly brace. And now I need one more else. And my one more else is going to be the error. Because I've now checked all of the things that I said I wanted to work. So I'm going to say else. And I can say either answer equals zero, or I can say answer equals error. Okay, so now I'm done, but I got to make sure that I've got all my curly braces under control. I need a curly brace to close the one after that else, to close the one after that else, and to close that one after that else. So I appear to be missing a curly brace. Okay, and that one takes care of that, that one takes care of that, that one takes care of that. I think I got them all.
So you want to add the braces at the end, because I was kind of putting them in before the else's.
I had the top, but I wasn't ready to close this one until I got to there. And, I mean, the only thing I added in was the bottom ones, because I wasn't really ready to close the ones until I got there. So that's the only ones that I really added in were the ends. Okay, so this is what I've got now. And to double check my curly braces, these go together, these go together, these go together, these are the easy ones. Those go together. This one goes with that one. This goes with this. And this goes with this. So I found a partner for everything. And again, I can count them to make sure that I've got the right count. So that gives me, I think, the answer. I don't know until I run it and see if I did something stupid. Okay? And I tend to do something stupid lots of times. So I have to debug it when I do. So I'm going to go back to this and I'm going to save it. And I'm going to come in here to what to do, and I'm going to refresh. And it says enter the first number, 5, and I'll enter a 2. And what do I want to do? I want to do an add. And 5 and 2 is 7, so my add worked. Now I'm going to enter an 8. And a 5, and a subtract. And 8 minus 5 is 3, so that worked. And now I am going to enter a 5 and a 6 and a ampersand. And that gets me the answer is an error. And if I should have gone back and tested the times and the divide, because you should always test everything after you've modified the program. But we're running out of time, so I didn't. Questions? Does it make sense now that I've done it?
Okay.
Okay, I want to look at the homework briefly. So your homework is 5 problems. Okay? The first problems are fairly straightforward, although I'm going to add an extra credit to number 4. On number 4, if you produce the letter grade, and I'll put it up on the web, the letter grade as well as the numeric grade, I'll give you extra credit. And that would be very much like what we did here. Testing, if it's greater than 90, they get an A. If it's greater than, they get a B, and so forth, or greater than 89. So that would be very much what we did here. Okay.
Question was that? Problem 5?
Problem 4. And I will put it up when I get home, but I kind of decided to do that at the last minute. Okay, now let me talk quiet, please. Let me go through this. This particular one at the bottom, and you take a look at it. The number of hours the employee worked is, let's say, 50. The number of hours they are contracted to work, let's say, is 40. So if you're contracted to work 40 and you work 50, how many hours of overtime did you work?
10.
Okay? That's the way I want you to figure out overtime. I do not want a prompt that asks for overtime. I want the 4 prompts that ask for number of hours worked, number of hours contracted, pay per hour, and the rule. And so you've got to do the calculation. Let's say they make $25 an hour, and now we get to the rule. 1.5 would mean they get time and a half. If you enter a 2, it means they get double time. Okay, and those are the only 2 that you have to really work with. But I wanted 1.5 for time and a half, and 2 for double time. So if the hours worked is more than the contracted hours, then you need to know what the rate of overtime is. Are they getting time and a half, or are they getting double time? Okay? So this is the only one that requires an if. The others are very sequential. Although on number 4, if you add the extra credit, you're going to be adding an if in as well.
So we make up the numbers, or we make up the numbers?
You make up the numbers, yep. And I would suggest you make up easy numbers like this, that you can do the calculation in your head quickly, because when I test it, I will use easy numbers like this, or I can do the calculation in my head quickly, okay? I will not be paying 17.33 an hour or something like that.
Right.
Okay, I'm done. Carolyn is going to be here for the next 2 hours, and I'll be here part of that time.